Tech, I think I'd go with Lux.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and spend this hour with you. And we are going to have a great time today. We're going to just talk about so many changes in this industry and the world and technology. Just think about, where were you in 2010 in relation to technology? I mean, it has just changed like a whirlwind, and it keeps on changing. And today, I'm really excited to bring in Christine Lee. She's the CEO and founder of Seize the Market, and we'll get into that in more detail in a little bit, but she's actually helping agents and brokers seize the market with making things simple, because if you've been in a long time, technology isn't as simple as it used to be, although you can do things a lot quicker. It's just mind-boggling, and there's just so much going on and so much changing. She's been an entrepreneur since the age of 16, when she started her first online business that serviced over 16 countries. I want to hear about this. She received her bachelor's in science in computer information systems in 2003 from the University of North Florida, and her master's in real estate in 2006 in Florida. Her 20-plus years experience in real estate ranges from a licensed real estate broker to mortgage broker, state-certified real estate appraiser. That takes a lot of patience to do that. And general contractor. She's owned 8 different businesses and has been featured in Realtor Magazine's 30 Under 30, featured on HGTV shows, and the Home Buyers Rap magazine as a radio show host for Getting Real with Real Estate. She currently develops and grows businesses for others through Seize the Market. Seize the Market is for real estate agents and brokers, and they do a lot of the work for you, which I'll let her tell you a little bit more in detail. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Christine Lee. Hey, how are you?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. That was quite the mouthful.
Thank you for coming on. I know you're pretty slammed. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, just a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. It's going to be fun. This hour goes by so fast, and we get into a lot of different topics on the topic. And so tell us, Christine, because when you 16 years old and all those businesses, tell us what you did. What happened? You started your first online. What got you into all this? Then I want to hear. I want to hear your story.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you're 16, you're just scratching your own itch. And I had this, like, odd hobby of liking to watch Japanese animation called anime. And this is back in the day when there was, like, VHS, where you actually had machines that you had to put stuff in to, like, have something come on TV. So there's, like, this whole online community of that, like, subtitled shows that weren't licensed yet. And so as a poor broke, I guess at that time I was in high school, I either had a choice of buying these tapes, or I can become a distributor, and then the income that you get from it, you can basically resupply your stash of new anime episodes of whatever shows that were available. So that was like my route. And it was online based, and I just stuck a site up there, and all these people started ordering from like everywhere, from like umpteenth different countries. And I was like, what the hey? So it was really unexpected, but a lot of fun.
Wow, that is great. Well, that is that like the Blockbuster era or before that?
Yeah, no, Blockbuster still around at that time, yeah. And then, but there was like this online community. It's like kind of like a little underground-ish of people literally all across the globe that liked anime. And we connected online. People would order this episode of this show, and it would get mailed over to them. So I had like 8 different VCRs daisy-chained together. And just like literally had a production going. And I asked my mom first credit card at the age of 16 so I can buy these tapes and, or, you know, have them shipped to me. And I would ship out and I would clog up the post office with all my shippings. It was like the weirdest combination
of experiences.
I love it. For a high schooler.
So did you, that is so cool. Did you have to like send them back or did you like when they got them and they could keep them and that was it, the way you, when you bought it, you did like wholesale and then sold it retail? Is that kind of how you?
Yeah. That's basically the concept. Yeah. You would get like high quality ones that are, you know, best for replicating and then you would ship it off and then, yeah, they keep it. So they send in their order, they print off the form online and they would literally send cash or money orders.
Really?
Through the mail. Yes.
Well, the days of trusting people, right?
I know. Now there's like Venmo, right? Or PayPal.
Yeah.
That wasn't really a thing that I could use, you know?
I love it. Wow. So you went into 16 different countries?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it sounds like really like big when you say it, but I mean, I was just a high schooler operating with a little business out of my room with a just like a whole bookshelf of VCRs and a printer and labels and tapes. So, I mean, it was
so cool. And you did your website. What was it, Dreamweaver back then? I mean, I don't know how long ago we're talking.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. You know Dreamweaver.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, oh, my God. I've been around. And do you remember Dreamweaver? And they also had that front page, which had terrible extensions. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Front page. With DreamWorks.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And
that is so
funny.
Yeah, that's what we had to use. And I remember having my son learn how to do it, and he took some college classes. He could do really great programming now, but he's in the medical field. But that was late 90s, early 2000s. Now, and the front page the extensions would always be goofy. And, oh, my gosh. And then, now the WordPress was so big, but it's such a different world, right? Wow, that
is
so cool.
Yeah, everything
so
was manual back then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is so cool. That's really cool. So what happened then with that business? Did you finally go, okay, I'm going to do more, I want to change it, sell it? What'd you do?
Well, I was in school, so I was just kind of running with it and just kind of meeting my needs, you know, and kind of just getting more operationally efficient. I would say, this is kind of funny. So my brother would want to watch some stuff, and I just kind of had like this principle, like, okay, you're goofing off playing computer games while I'm working my butt off. No, you don't get free access to it. You need to work and earn. So I would, like, put him to work for, like, I don't know, a few hours or something, and then he can, you know, watch the stuff.
That's great.
So he was my little, you know, underage child labor. So
That's perfect. And you said, give him – I bet your mom was really happy you did that, right? You really give him some, made him have some, learn some good skills.
My mom's just probably scratching her head. She's like, what is she doing? Like, okay, it doesn't seem illegal, right? Like, I'm giving the 16-year-old a credit card, and she's buying this stuff, and she's shipping it off. It looks legit. I don't think she really understood what I was doing and was just kind of like, okay, like, go for it, you know?
That's cute.
So, yeah, that's kind of what it was like.
That is really cool. And then, that's really neat. And then you ended up going, what, from there you went to college and learned more programming? Or how'd you go from there? I'm just curious. This is really interesting to me, how you, the progression.
Yeah, so actually now that you're bringing it up, So I learned, you know, HTML, used Dreamweaver, and, you know, learned how to create web pages at 16. And I think that skill actually kind of kept on trickling me into the world of technology, even into estate and seize the market. I think it all actually, it does connect. Oh, it does connect. Oh, my gosh.
It does connect. Does it ever? Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And so I was going to school. I wasn't even thinking about making that a career, but I had a chemistry teacher. He was like, he made chemistry cool, if that is at all possible. So I have huge respect for teachers.
I think some teachers can do that, right? Yeah.
Yes. He was awesome. He was like one of those teachers that could command silence in the room full of high schoolers. Like, that doesn't happen often.
In chemistry and in chemistry class, wow.
Yes. Yes. He was a cool dude. So I really liked, you know, his class and him as a teacher. And when we were talking, he was taking like a programming class, and he was taking a C programming class at that time. And I don't know, he flippantly said, you could learn. And I'm like, okay. So I ended up it was my senior year. So the next year I took the exact same class he was taking with the exact same teacher. And I really liked it. And so then that basically was kind of like the first steps for me getting a computer information degree in college.
I love it.
And so I continued my tech journey. And at that time, it's so funny how our dreams like change, shift, and expand. Like, I was going to be happy to get like some Microsoft certifications and get a job. And if I could make like 60, 70 grand a year, like that was going to be like a dream, a life dream true. Right. Like to me, that was huge. It just obviously parlayed into like so much more. And
it was meant to be, Yeah.
I know. Well, all these little daisy chain of events is super interesting, because when I went to college, then I ended up working for kind of like a friend of the family type, you know, person that had a real estate company, but it wasn't a real estate appraisal company, and their network, their computer network, was a complete disaster. So I just wanted to help out. So I redid their whole office. I was literally rewiring, running wires, running through the attic, running wires in like the hot Florida heat, and redoing their system overnight. Literally, I fell asleep in the office because you had to like let the system update overnight and trying to get it done before people came into work. So that was me.
Right.
And so they would find like this college kid like sleeping on the ground when they came in.
That is too cool.
But after I did that, it was like, okay, well, you're a hard worker. I need some additional help in real estate appraisals. And so I'm like, okay. And at the time I was waiting tables, and, you know, you're like sweating, greasy, you know, cleaning up stuff. And you're like, an office job with air conditioning? Jackpot, you know? And
Florida, yay!
Exactly. So I'm like, oh, life doesn't get any better than this. So I'm working, just writing up reports. And that leads me to getting my real estate appraiser's license. That's how I ended up doing that. And then
get your appraiser's license. Yeah, that takes a while to do, though.
The full, there's different levels of one, but like the very beginner one is kind of like a real estate license. You take the course and then you get the thing.
Okay,
so,
you had to work under somebody, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so that's how I got into my first step into real estate. But he was also an investor who was flipping homes and a real estate broker.
Cool.
And so that's how I got into flipping homes, is because, you know, you'd just be talking and like, you know, he'd be telling you about properties and deals and real estate. And he was opening up my eyes to the world of real estate.
Wow.
Real estate is all around us. You know, he's like, you really want to build wealth, it's through real estate. And I didn't even know what that meant. And I was like, okay, whatever, whatever. But this flipping home thing looks pretty cool. So I like begged him for a year to let me in on a deal that I will work for free, just because I wanted to learn. And he just was kind of going through other potential people, you know, that he wanted to work with. And I was last on the rung, and I was like, you know, my turn finally came up. And so that's I entered into the world of real estate and flipping homes. And I was managing the contractors, doing the bids, the pricing, you know. I'm Asian, so I'm good with numbers. Let's just play on stereotypes. So I was like, I knew how to budget. I knew how to, you know, like negotiate and like get the best price. And so, yeah, I did that and it was tons of fun.
And then he started paying you,
yeah,
letting you in on the deal.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Yeah, and so then I ended up managing like all the rest of the properties that he was doing. And running those and got action on that. So that was a lot of fun. And because of that I got my real estate I know what happened. We had a mortgage broker who was pre-qualifying all the leads, and she was getting all the sign calls. And I was just, you know, doing the project management, trying to get it sold, and all these deals kept on falling through one after another. And
because she didn't know what she was doing, or they didn't have a licensed agent or broker doing it at all, just the mortgage broker.
No. Yeah, just the mortgage broker, because in the beginning, she was getting the deals done, right? She would get the calls, qualify them, and she would close them, boom, boom, boom. And then so it's like, I know what happened. But here's kind of like how I found out. I kept on, I'm like, okay, well, she kept on, like the deals kept on dying. So I'm like, what's going on? How can I close the gap? So I would go with her to the appointments. And then, you know, she would go through the loan application, you know, employment, income, assets, you know, and their liabilities, and gather these paperwork. So I started helping her do that and delivering it on a silver platter. Like, this has got to close now if you got all of this. And it still would fall through. So I'm like, what the hey?
What was happening?
And
what?
She was
who was writing the contract? Like for the
deal.
Well,
when she would qualify them, she would write the contract and she would handle everything.
Oh, wow.
But the buyers were getting moved to her dad's properties because her dad was flipping houses too in the
areas.
Yeah.
That's
terrible.
That's really stealing. I mean, that's like really, really stealing. Wow.
I know. And at that time, I was going to college. I was going to Gainesville, so it was about an hour and a half away. And I got so frustrated with losing the deals. And I'm like, there's a gap between us getting all the people in paper and the mortgage part, right? Yeah, something wasn't
right.
It's just like too many in a row, right? If you even closed a few, you'd be like, oh, okay, at least it's bouncing along. It was literally like zero. And I delivered so many people to her. So what I did was this is back when there was still a phone book around. I literally called mortgages, right? I looked up that category and I was calling while I was going to school. I was like, started from A and went all the way to S. And I was like calling, I'm like, hey, I'm Christine. I'm in college. Just want to learn about mortgages because I've been dealing with these properties and doing da 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 da. You know, I'll come in and work for free just to like learn and help you out, you know? And I got a ton of no's, and then I made it all the way to S because the company name was like Stockton Turner and Company. And this guy by the name of Joe was like, you're doing what? And I explained, and he's like, you know, you're originating loans, right? And I'm like, what's that? And he's like, oh my gosh, just come in. And I went in and he just like treated me like a little intern, showed me the systems. And he's like, you're like
that's
taking
great.
Loan applications. And like collecting all the paperwork, like that's what originating a loan, you know, is. And so I'd learned the systems. He taught me, and then he was like, you know enough to open your own net branch. I was like, what's that? And he's like, explained it to me. I was like, okay, I'll do that. So that's how I ended up getting my mortgage license. Yep.
You're kidding. That is
and,
in Florida.
In Florida. And opened my own little, like, net branch company and then, like, eventually just opened my own little, like, one-man shop type deal and doing mortgages and now selling homes and doing real estate and
were you,
the financing
part. Did you get your
part.
Real estate license and you were helping – you got your real estate license and also was still doing that with the other broker?
Yeah, so I'm sure
were,
at some point
oh
I got my,
gosh,
my real estate license, you know. Yeah, so that's – it was
wow.
all around getting those properties, those flips sold because they weren't selling – And so,
wow.
And I think I got the real estate license not because I needed it, just because once you take like the mortgage exam, like the school there had the class for the
right.
real estate license, and it was kind of like
right.
why not, you know? So
right.
that was kind of like my motto. I'm like, why not? Okay, you know. And so just kept
cool.
on rolling with it. And how I got into the, you know, realtor side is, you know, once you get your license, you get bombarded with, like, marketing, right? And
right,
there was
right.
one half-day seminar that was something on something, and I don't even know why I went. But what they did show me is about systems, and I bought this $99 landing page little package thing. And
really?
When – yeah, and it was like just – it was back in the day when Google pay-per-click was like dirt cheap. It was like pennies on the dollar.
Right, right. Oh,
and
God.
So I bought that system, and then, you know, I was using it. I was getting leads, and I'm like – wanted to make all these improvements to the landing page because it was like just not – I can do better. And I knew how to program from the web pages when I was 16,
so cool.
right? So I created
right.
my first landing page. And
cool.
And then did – Google AdWords myself, and then started getting leads hand over fist.
That is perfect.
And didn't even know what to do with it. And I had huge binders. You know those 3-inch binders? I would
right.
print out the
yeah.
lead and then have a page for each lead. And I had like multiple 3-inch binders. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is insane. I cannot even keep up with this. And that's how I created my first little database to
That's
funnel
great.
In the leads and have it automatically organized and then, like, have a little task follow-up thing. And I learned how to program web page with, like, database using, like, the PHP language. And it was, like, the
right,
easiest
right.
thing to, like, get up and running. So it was, like, all self-taught, and I just got it done. And so now I had, like, this little
so great.
CRM.
And
I didn't even
with
know.
With that and databases and stuff. Wow, that's great.
So
yeah.
I can almost call that my like, alpha version of Seize the Market without knowing it.
Oh, it's great. We did that databases years ago, and I mean, you know, when you're doing that, you had to do everything yourself back then. So were you were
mm-hmm.
still selling houses through the same company that was flipping? The person that started you was flipping and doing the mortgage brokering, or what? The time.
Yeah, so the mortgage brokering was like a different company. It was my company, and then the flipping
right.
was I think I hung my license through that company. And then I started working more like retail buyers. And so being internet-based, I was very buyer-heavy, like almost all buyers. Didn't even know what taking a listing was for years.
Oh,
I
funny.
Was like a buyer machine, but like I guess I wouldn't really brag on that because that was like a lot of work.
No,
that
and you demanded
like a
good money
work.
Then too, right. That's
yeah,
funny.
And, you know, coming out of college waiting tables, you're like, wow, look at this. This is pretty dang cool, you know?
Absolutely.
And so I had a blast. I had a blast. And I think how Seize the Market came about is as I was getting all these leads, I eventually had to get help. And this is, again, by chance. I wasn't even thinking about hiring anybody, but the partner, the investor partner broker that I was with was like, hey, my friend's daughter who's going to graduate school needs a summer job. Do you need any help? And I literally was like, huh, I never thought of hiring anybody and like paying somebody because, you know, like I'm still in college, right? So I'm like, you know, to hire, like it just doesn't cross your mind. But I was like, I kind of did the math. I'm like, well, if I did more of this and I could do less of that, then it would
right.
actually make sense. I could actually be more productive. So I just
exactly.
kind of logicked it out and be
right.
like, okay, green light, let's do it. And it's only for a summer anyways. And she was a fantastic hire. Like, as a first hire where
wow.
I knew nothing about what
you
I was doing
out.
And no selection process, like, yeah, I had a sweet first hire. She was incredibly just intelligent, competent. We got along.
Sometimes
we had a
they're
blast.
So, the first, oh, that's so perfect. Wow, that's great.
Yeah. The ones
and
after,
you got,
like...
I remember the first one I hired in 87 was could type 130-some words a minute. She was so great, and I didn't know how good she was, and she had to move out of state, and I never had anyone as good for years. You know, you're
I
like, oh, gosh, I should have kept her here.
Yeah, until
here, yeah.
you, like, yeah. have the three next, like, doozies.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
well,
like,
that
oh,
is
my
so
gosh.
Exciting.
It was great. I had such a great time. And from there, I think that's where I got a taste of like leverage and hiring people. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, with all the buyers, before they really had a name for like a buyer's agent or showing partner or anything like that, I picked it up from like a different mastermind where it was like this person without a name, without a label. And started working that model, and it worked well for me because they were essentially my showing partner, because I would close the deals, I would do the the initial consults, and I just had a really really good showing partner. That's
amazing. Did you start doing listings? Since to me, listings have always been the name of the game. You know, if you have a lot of listings,
everybody's working
for you.
Yeah, I just didn't
know about that too.
So I was. Eventually, but like I was told that listings was the name of the game, but I was like, I couldn't wrap my head around it because nobody had taught me. I didn't know,
right?
Talk about knowledge is power, right? Just didn't have that knowledge at all. And then, this one guy was like, hey, if you ever hear of this guy named Gene Rivers, he's phenomenal at teaching, like go to it. And then in a week or two, I get an email. Was like, oh, there's this class on listings with Gene Rivers. I'm like, wasn't that the guy? Because his name was kind of unique, you know? And it turned out he had a brokerage like literally like not even a mile down, maybe half a mile down the street from where I was at. So I went there and I learned listings from him, went to every class that he taught, and eventually ended up joining his brokerage because that was part of their recruiting process.
Sure, but, good way to do it.
Yeah, so that's kind of exciting.
How long did you stay there? How long were you doing the listings? Because it's such a unique when you take over a market. It's really fun.
Yeah, it was. It was like 2007. So maybe like for the next six, seven years, I was with that brokerage. I was a KW at the time, and they were also into like building teams. So that worked out really well for me because he was like really great coach for team building. And so I got my experience and I kind of like got my feet wet, cut my teeth on in that environment. And so, then I was like chugging and plugging on building a team. And what happened is in the process of building a team, the software couldn't keep up. There was no software that was ideal for building teams. And so that's literally how I ended up starting Seize the Market. Is because at the time there was like the closest thing that was good for teams. They had like exclusive territories and I was locked out of it. And I really wanted to just pay for the software. Like I did not want to start a software company. But as I was building out my little alpha version, I kept on adding stuff to it as I needed it. But it got to a point where there was more programming need than I had time for. So I couldn't keep up with my own needs. And so basically the logic was in like programming or like paying for somebody to program is super expensive, as you know, because you've built out your own system and paid for programmers. As a single team, you know, like it wasn't affordable. So I had to turn it into a company in order to make it financially, you know, feasible because you would sell it to other people.
That was so smart, really smart.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I ended up with Seize the Market is because I was just, again, scratching my own itch because what I wanted wasn't available. And I totally did dig the idea of getting it my way. Like, if I was making it, I knew exactly what I wanted. And so that was, like, a pretty pretty fun journey, you know.
That is so exciting. We were doing the program and had other programmers and all that too, but it's just now it's just so much is out of the box, but then you're paying for things that aren't always customized to the way you want it either, you know? So different. That's so exciting.
It was good times.
So then you stayed in the real estate as an agent for a while, right? You said you were you did a radio show hosting for Getting Real with Real Estate.
Yeah, so in our local market, you know, you can buy radio time, have your own radio show, and that's like your advertising and marketing. So, just had a great, great time with that. You know, everything just comes and goes in seasons. And, got my team involved. You know, we all had a great time. We had really fun guests, you know, talked about topics. And I just had a lot of fun. with all different types of marketing and different medias and just advertising. And then there's the technology part. So real estate really had me dance with like a lot of things that I'm still working with today.
Yeah. Right, right. You have to. I mean, if you're going to run it all, you have to know all of it. So what? Where did you? When did you pivot from real estate to strictly software? Because
oh
it sounds
gosh.
Like you were doing everything.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, yeah, I was. So I was probably like a workaholic, but not because like I felt like I had. I was having so much fun. I would wake up and be like, "Wee, let's do this," you know, and like I was just totally into it. And I think that's like me. Like when I get into something, I just like really get into something. And
right. That's perfect.
I felt like I was living the life of Monopoly, you know, and because I was also still doing investments, you know, buying property, whether it's land or flipping, and just and then I got into like, you know, building some new homes and designing them. I learned how to like architect,
nice.
Not like officially, but like literally went in
right.
and learned AutoCAD, like went into a college class.
I see you did AutoCAD, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And so I remember the professor being like, you're more interested in this class than the students who are actually getting credit for it. Because I'd come after and, like, ask him questions of, like, how does this work? How does that work? So,
that's perfect.
Yeah.
You're so smart to do that, though.
I just got my nose into everything.
Get it
in
wow.
And, you know, you, in,
I love
in college,
it. No, I
you
love
have
it.
The time to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, still, though, you were smart, though, to even intern at places and say, hell, I'll work for free, you know, getting yourself networked with the people and getting it done. That's perfect because you've learned so much when you're able to have somebody mentor you or show you how to do it. It's just amazing. And osmosis. And then you created your own because you did, there was a need. I love it. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely, yeah. So how did you decide, okay, I'm going to hang up my license because the license is easy to keep because you can do referrals even across country, other places in the world. What prompted you to say, okay, I'm just going to put my license on freeze and totally do the programming?
Yeah. Yeah, so I probably did both for like 4 years. And looking back, that was a really bad idea because when you have a startup, you know, software company and like I was actually developing. I wasn't the lead developer. I hired somebody who was, you know, way smarter and better that did like the major, you know, architecting and stuff like that. But I was like pounding out some like tons of code into the wee hours of the night in the beginning. Yeah, because we were just like a little bootstrap company. And so I was doing that almost by night to a sense. And then during the day I was running and growing my team and the best I could doing both, but it was just too much. I didn't have the right, if I had the right people in place, then it would have been a different story. And I was searching, I was looking, I was like aggressively looking, but just, and with multiple failed attempts of, you know, you're like, okay, I think I got this leader in place. I could really carry it, you know, for me. And then it not working out. So, between just those,
Christine, that's every business. It's so hard to get people that are really like you, you know, that want to commit and care and want to do. Oh, that's just like an ongoing problem. That's
right.
Why when I said
I know.
Had somebody in '87. The first one was so good. If I knew what back then, I was like, yeah. But go ahead. So that makes sense.
I know. So I'm, you know, it's a big club. There's a ton of us out there that are like, if I could just find the right person. So that was me, and so. Because I didn't have the right person, my team did suffer. And I did eventually end up, like, folding it into another team and finding them all kind of like a home before I stepped out. And when I focused on Seize the Market, you know, solely, I realized, like, holy moly, I'm able to get to so many things and realize how much wasn't getting done in Seize the Market that needed to because I was split in two, you know. So it's back to that thing, you can't serve two masters. Yeah, I was trying though. I was definitely trying to serve two masters. It was not a pretty picture.
You get exhausted after a while, but I totally relate. I totally relate. Sometimes two, three, and four masters, but you know, not needing two.
Exactly.
That is exciting.
Yeah. So that's kind of
so you did it
how
when
I
you pivoted, and then the software started going really well, huh?
yeah, then I can focus solely on that. And that was like my love and my passion, you know, now instead of real estate. And so whether it's the 7-year itch with like real estate or something, I don't know. That was just kind of the time when I did transition fully to software and technology. But it was interesting because everything that I learned in real estate, whether it's the team building side, the recruiting side, the leadership side, the technology
right.
side, really understanding the business, that all played into the conversations that I was having, the way I was building things out, and even just the conversations I have today, you know, it's so much more relevant to, you know, our clients because I've been in the trenches, you know.
So you understand it from every different aspect. You get it. So with the seasoned market, are you strictly working with agents and brokers, or are you also working with other companies that need marketing?
No.
Are you open
to that? We serve agents and brokers as of now. And, you know, I've definitely thought of, like, what it would look like to go in outside of that, but that's not kind of where we're at right now. So we'll see. We'll see what God has planned.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, God's all over it, right? God kind of orchestrates our footsteps, and it's interesting how, like, when you mentioned the one gentleman mentioned listings and the person's name, and the next thing you know, you see it a week later. And it kind of like what you're doing now with all of your expertise gives you the ability to really do what you're doing now well, you know, with all those years. So what seize the market, how does that work? Just tell me a little bit about how that works for agents and brokers.
Yeah, so at its core, it's a CRM. It's a CRM with the front end and back end, but it's meant to take you from lead to close, referrals and beyond, so that, you know, there's actual transaction management behind the scenes. There's also reporting and tracking on the agent side, whether you're a single agent, a little mini team, or a full-fledged team. And so there's a lot of automation and reporting that otherwise I had to manually put together. I think a lot of the things came about because I was manually putting it together, and I was like, I have the data in the database. So like, fling, would come out another report, you know?
Sure.
And that was kind of the product for the agent. I just say agent productivity side, right? Because the other part of the, you know, real estate life is the brokerage side. So specifically on recruiting and retention, really not anything else outside of that, but very specifically on recruiting and retention. So for brokers who are, you know, broker owners or managers or recruiters in the office or have that role, is kind of who we service and who we're helping out as well. So those are the two categories that we have.
So the CRM though, would be mainly for the lead management and then the broker's recruiting, right? It wouldn't be for the files and the transaction coordinating and all that, right? That's something separate.
Yeah, like on a brokerage level, it wouldn't be like for all of their agents. But like if an agent had their own business in our system, you can take it all the way through. So yeah, that's kind of how that works.
That's fantastic. What about for a referral business? Like if a brokerage is doing referrals around the country, can it do that and track everything for you in the CRM? Or is that something?
Yeah, whether it's an agent or a brokerage, a broker, but it's the referral, I call it the referral module, is built out in the agent section where you can track referrals. You can have your own, you know, follow-up and just touch bases, and it's kind of like separate from leads, you know, so it doesn't get mixed up in there. And also you can track like what percentage commission that you're expecting, price points. You kind of can see a pipeline.
Oh, that's good.
Of the actual dollars, yeah. So, there's a nice little referral module in the agent side of things.
That's great. That's so needed. It's really so needed to just have it all in one place and have it in the database and structured so nothing's missed. Does it have, like, autoresponders in it?
Yeah, so there's email drips, you know, like the task management, the action plans. And then you send text messages through the systems, so kind of like the whole nine yards on that, as well as, you know, if you on the front end, like whether you want to pop up some landing pages or just, you know, show the homes, things of that nature. Just really ran my whole business in that system.
So this was a system. You started it from the beginning and then kept adding on. Amazing.
Kept adding on is definitely the right description.
Well, and your landing pages, so you have call to actions in there. Are they like a they do all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff too, huh?
Yeah, so I would, you know, when I was doing radio or TV and things like that, I would pop up different landing pages for different ads that I was testing out and different videos and whatnot. And so you can have it all labeled and tagged when
it comes
in. And yeah, it was good. It was good.
Tell us how they find you. Now, if anybody listens, they know they can contact us at Really Universal and we'll give them information. But go ahead and give us your contact, how you prefer it, through which channels or all or whatever you have.
Yeah, our website is seizethemarket.com. That's like seize the day, but it's seize the market, S-E-I-Z-E, themarket.com. And you can tootle around in there and check us out and see if it looks like it might be, good fit. And there's, a button to, like, demo it out. So we'll just kind of let people
awesome.
Take their time on that. And would love to connect through that, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you demo it out that way. And then any questions, they can go through there and find out, et cetera, and contact you that way.
And our demos are really almost like quasi-coaching sessions because of the just the background that we have, and just really talk about your business and your needs. And just we're pretty open book in terms of, hey, if there's a strategy that can help you and you don't even use us, we'll share it. Like, go for it.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Yeah, it's just like we want to be able to deliver value no matter what. And, that way every call just is like a lot more purposeful and just a lot more joyful, in my opinion. So that's our approach.
Oh, you're just so well-rounded. You've just got it all covered, I can tell. You just get, with that, and it's so good. And you're not wasting your time or their time. It sounds like it's really a phenomenal fit. So, and is this affordable? You don't have to tell us numbers or anything, but it's affordable for a small brokerage, medium or large, either anywhere, pretty much?
Exactly. So, someone who's starting out solo, it can start out with just like a few $100 and then on up. So, we want to... We're definitely in line with the market, and we just consider ourselves like we want to deliver more than.
So, do the APIs can fit in with other ones, or do they use Zapier, or how do they connect everything else they're doing with you?
Yeah, so we definitely funnel leads through Zap, and we don't have like a full fledged API system, but you can definitely flow leads in, and then the automation can take over from there.
That's great, fantastic. It's amazing. It's amazing. I've been around it since the 90s, and now I'm just like, no, somebody else. It's like, it's just amazing. We have a system that's running slow because we have to redo it all because it was started in like early 2000s. I hate to say that, but and it's still running, but it doesn't make sense, Boy, when you look back then and think, gosh, we were going to actually take our system and put it out to members. But I was so busy with the brokerage business, it didn't happen, I really should have just paid a lot of people, and then made it happen, But now there's other softwares out there that, ours was so cool back then, but, now it's like, no, there's a lot of things that are better than it, so.
It doesn't take
platforms
long for,
that are better, and you're like, where did 20-some years go by? What happened? Yeah. It's funny.
So true. So true. Yeah.
I want to pivot over around. We've got about 15 minutes left. It went by fast, didn't it? I told you, it always does go by so fast.
It's already 45 minutes.
We didn't even put a commercial in, no breaks, nothing. I like to just keep it organic and not do that anyhow if we can. I met you through your emails too and talking about God, okay? And we both believe in God and love God, and everybody has their, different paths that they take. And tell what you and I'm a firm believer, God knows this whole picture, and when we follow the scripture and we get into the word and Holy Spirit, it's just our lives change, and it's just interesting how our footsteps really are monitored, given, and there's a peace that comes over it because we're in such a world of confusion and stress and name it, and we've got so much information thrown at us. How did you get into, because you're so open about, run your business with God, and we do too. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it's a little ironic because for about 20 years or like, you know, most, I guess half my life, I just had no interest in God because I grew up in a very Christian family, but it was like very like tons of rules, a lot of things you couldn't do. And I just, you know,
strict,
I think there's
strict.
A lot of people that understand. Yeah. Like the religion of it. There was no like relationship that was developed there. So I just wanted nothing to do with it for 20 years. Like all the time that I was doing real estate, all the time I was in college, like, didn't go to church, didn't really think about God, didn't even really say that I was a Christian. Like if it came up, maybe like, but I was a closet Christian would be an upgrade. Like that was me. Like I was not interested. And so what happened is I did all the things and I must say I had a blast doing it, you know, even if God wasn't like the lead dog or even a dog in the race at all for me in my life. But then I reached burnout. And I think looking back, I would say God was probably like, okay, Christine, I tried to do this the nice way and I tried to protect you from yourself, but now you've been so stubborn, I'm just going to have to let you like face your own consequences. You know, I'm just kind of making that story up in my head, but that's, I kind of see it that way. So therefore, I did eventually burn out. And when I hit burnout, it was like, every morning I used to wake up like juiced up and motivated. When I say juiced up, jazzed up and motivated and excited and passionate about like what I'm building, like the future, the vision and all that stuff and the success, the wealth, the money, just all aspects of it was just great. Well, one day I realized like, okay, that's not really, you know, pumping me up anymore. Like that doesn't get me excited.
Right.
Like, uh-oh, like that's not cool. Like I know I have to live with passion. And my little switch is broken. And so I'm like, it just really brought me to a point of just like self-reflecting and thinking like, what is going to excite me? Like, what's going to do it for me? Because everything that I thought was going to continue to keep me excited for the rest of my life is now like doing nothing for me. And so I literally would just spend a lot of time trying to like brainstorm with myself, like, what is the thing? And finally, one day I kind of flipped, like realized, well, there is God's plan, technically, since I'm like all out of plan.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, he's the creator of the universe. And technically, he knows way more than I do, like infinitely more. Like I intellectually can say that, but I'm like, God, here's the problem. Like, I'm just not interested. Like, I think everything about you is like boring. Like, I don't want to go to Tim Hortons and like, you know, scrounge for like my daily meals. And I like being an entrepreneur. I like, you know, building things and being, you
That's
know,
your
successful.
Gift. That's your gift.
Yeah. And so like, I literally didn't want the version of God that I had learned growing up. And so, but I said, okay. Well, we learned all this stuff about start with the end in mind. So I kind of did that with the whole God thing. I was like, okay, if I were to do something that was with God, the end in mind would be, I would actually be excited about it. Like the same passion, excitement, vision as I had with business and what got me all, you know, going in the business world. So I'm like, God, if you can replicate that type of excitement and passion with whatever it is that you want, then I can get behind that. But if it's going to be boring, then like not going to happen. And so it was literally I know, like, and I can't even say that I was really talking to him. It was more like a passing thought.
You do, though, but you do, but we do, because it's kind of like, you know, look what Jesus did in 3 years, and he did not have the phone or the internet. I mean, when you think about it, I think we're kind of given, like, our prayer is like our connection, you know, that it, I agree. So go ahead. So then you just started, I was raised Catholic, and I started going non-denominational in the 90s, and so, and once in a while I still pop into the Catholic Church, but it's too strict for me. But go ahead.
So, I mean, so I prayed this prayer. I didn't even know I was praying. I opened this door for God. I didn't even know I was opening. Now that I look back, it was an invitation that he took me up on the offer, right? And so what ended up happening is he's like literally people started showing up in my life for one reason or another through a daisy chain of cause and effects. And, you know, one person in particular, she was like my nutritionist, but she was like hot for God, right? But she would talk about him in a way that was super practical. And she said something about her business being her ministry. And I was like, what? Business and ministry can go in the same
sentence? It is. Real estate's my ministry. It is. Yeah. Real estate's in mine. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. Go ahead, though. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
Yeah.
And it really resonated with this concept I was toying with, where it was like, okay, as I was reevaluating my life, we have these compartments, right? Business, personal, contribution, spiritual. And it's like there's walls between them. And every time we like go from one category to the next, it's like you're switching gears and you're losing speed, right? There's no synergy between it. So I knew conceptually like the ideal lifestyle would be where all those categories play together and they synergize, they feed each other, and they don't lose speed when you like, you know, touch one or the other. And
right,
so this whole concept of business and ministry, it was like, it's like as if it broke down one of the walls, and I was like, oh, that's, they're like, even in that sentence, they're playing together, you know? And so I just opened up more conversation with her. She started, you know, just kind of like leading me and guiding me, like God totally sent her. I can tell you that 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
And
I believe it.
And eventually, probably by the end of that year, I was like, kind of got my head wrapped around the whole, you know, business is your ministry concept, to where I'm like, okay, I can do that. And I, you know, got a hold of some other just teachings and probably sermons that like mix the two together. And I'm like, oh, if you did this right, you have better intelligence, better wisdom, better strategies, better guidance with business, and you can probably do more efficiently, quicker, faster, and longer lasting. And so like to me, I'm like, oh, that's a better package. And so I kind of went like, then I was like, okay, I get it. I can roll with that. So I literally just beginning of 2020, January 1st, 2020,
great,
declared
right before COVID hit.
Right before COVID, I said, all right, God, I don't even know what this means, but I declare my business, my tech company, as a ministry. I don't even know what that means, but I'm just saying it is. You figure it out.
Perfect.
Like, I'm giving you the invite. And so in the least spiritual of all industries, right, technology, here I am declaring it as a ministry. And so it's just, again, then just step by step, different things taking over. And you mentioned like the emails. That was just part of that journey. It's like, okay, if I am a ministry, like what would I do for marketing? And like at that time, I was doing all the typical tech stuff, all the typical marketing stuff, the hype, all the what's really manipulation, you know, guised as marketing, where you're like, you know, authority, position, you know, scarcity, all this stuff. To like pump it up and like get people to move, you know, on, you know, whether it's, you know, scarcity, impulse or whatever. All my messages on that was no longer like just tasteful. It was distasteful. And so I shifted my marketing a little bit. I was like, all right, God, I don't know about the whole idea of putting you in my marketing. That seems pretty risky, kind of stupid if you ask me, but I wanted to. So I like dipped my toe in.
Yeah,
and
it's
I
not
think like
risky.
Point.
I understand.
Like I made 0.01% of the email, like something like a little something about God. That was like my first little email. And then I was like, okay, that wasn't bad. So then I kept on increasing it. And like, you know, as all of us entrepreneurs do, we like keep on pressing the envelope. So I kept on like increasing it, increasing it, increasing it. And so now like literally my whole email is like all about God and business, like in that territory, and like zippo about technology.
Yeah, that's great.
And so, and that's
really
what
great.
You received when you connected with me.
No, I loved it. It's just, it's because, I mean, I'm yeah, I wouldn't be here without God. I mean, none of us would, but you know, I really believe. And I used to always say to God years ago, why is it real estate? Why is that? Because I've been in a long time. Why is it real estate? Why is it? And I love why can't it be self-help and ministry and all that? And it was almost like I was told real estate's my vehicle, because I always wanted to go into acting and other things, you know. And then I got divorced. I had a son, my son very young, and who's my pride and joy. I love him so much. But I got divorced young, and my ex wasn't paying anything, and it was either do or die, and that's what made me successful at that time. And I did a lot of business because I had to, you know, when you're backed up against a wall. But then after years, I'm going, why? I want to do the other part. So I mix that. We mix it in, and we're building our membership. And it's tough, but not tough, because God does give us all different gifts, you know, and we have to be able to stand strong and respect others, right? Because some people believe other things. And it's just, you know, there's such a peace with God. And it's beautiful what you're doing. I really, my hat's off to you, because that's so so real. And this is our ministry.
Yeah, and like for the people who are like still running like crazy and, you know, don't know what God and business could look like if you mesh them together, like is it even possible? Like I just want to say, like I went from running like, I used to say the phrase like a rat on acid. Maybe I should change that phrase. But anyways, like a crazy person.
That's okay.
Okay, like a crazy person.
Right.
And it's like I didn't know that there was a way that you can do business with God where – like normally I would try and do 80 things in one day, which is totally not possible. And then I wouldn't get 80 things done. And then I would feel behind and then I would just put more pressure. So I would work more and I'd be like, you know, just my brain wouldn't shut off. And so the other version that's possible is that with the same amount of 80 things that you have on your list, when you do it with God, he will actually help highlight like, hey, do these three or five or whatever, and like the things that are possible. And what I've noticed is when you actually like brainstorm it out with God in the morning, it's almost like you're doing a morning huddle with God. Then he helps pick out the things you need to focus on. And like by faith, you release the rest, meaning like, all right, God, you didn't highlight it and they're not all physically possible anyway. So Geronimo, here we go. Then it just works out. Like, I know that sounds really like poofy, but when you experience it, not just once, but like twice and three, four, five, six times,
and
30 times, 60 times, 90 times, you're like, oh my gosh, this is like a thing. Like it's repeatable and it's scalable. Like that is fun and that is cool.
I love it. You know, I have a domain that we call it It's God, Not Me. And I've always wanted to start a blog and let everybody put all their stories up there. How do you do it? It's God, not me. You know, it's God, not me. And and it's like we're praying right now for the right people because it's challenging, you know, with businesses and things right now to do things. But I agree 100%. I don't make any decisions without praying first and praying for days sometimes. You know, it's like God's so amazing. Do you know we are down to like 3 minutes, though?
Oh, my gosh.
I know, time goes by so fast. We'll have to have you back on, too, and I want to talk to you, too, about some of the business things, what you're doing, too. We can refer and also maybe interested in some of your programming, too, with what you're doing. It's interesting. I love it. So last parting words, do you want to say a prayer? Do you want to, because we're going to be signing off in 2 minutes. That's one thing about, I love doing the internet. I love being able to do this in studio from anywhere. But we have that drop-off time, and then I don't talk.
Yeah. let's just wrap it up with a quick prayer.
Okay, go for it.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you and thank you so much for this great time with Natalie and that you are just allowing us to share a story for your glory and show how amazing that you are. And so if you can take out my ridiculous burnt out butt and bring it back to life and do it in a way where I learn how to do business with you in a whole new way, like that's amazing. And I just pray that everybody who is either on their way to burnout, in burnout, or thinking about burning out or may not even know it, that they would find new hope and possibility in doing business with you. That it's actually practical, it's actually smarter, it's actually more scalable, it's actually more efficient, that you have all the practical elements of business and you're actually the best business person in the world, that you're the best business consultant, coach, marketer, strategist in the universe. But we just have not been taught that, perhaps not in the church yet, and that's on us. But, Lord, I just pray that there is a tickling, a holy hunger that develops in all the hearts of people who are listening to this today, and that they would dream of new possibilities. They would taste new hope in you, and that they would be so curious, that they would be provoked to curiosity and jealousy about you, and at the right perfect timing, you would just have people show up. Because you love doing things in community. So just let them connect with the right people, connect with the right message. And I just declare victory in all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're awesome. So I'm going to talk to you soon. And thank you. Thank you so much for taking your time together to come together today. And I feel like we need to break bread, but this is cool. And
I know,
I'll
do that
talk to you
eventually.
Soon. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Bye.